He's better off than you are, brother. You had it right, Pastor. He told me, he said, this service is a train wreck. It is. Oh, my God. It's just, this thing is just going down the track. It is out of control. Look, let's push the throttle forward. Let's all go back in the dining car and let's raid the refrigerator. Wherever this train goes, let it go. Let's just eat and party until it crashes. I'm almost done. I promise you by 7 a.m. I'll be finished. You used to stay in those bars till 2 a.m. and get up on Monday morning and hate yourself, but you still went to work. Well, some of you did. Hey, you know what? If you stay in church long enough, it's like getting drunk in a bar. I got a boy that was in our church that used to, he was an old drunk, and he got saved. Well, he was a young drunk. He said, Brother Wilson, I got to tell you how it was when I was out in the world. At 2 a.m., they're all pretty. Hey, you get drunk enough on this Holy Ghost, and even people you don't like, you'll start liking them. You'll think everybody in the church is just beautiful. You'll love everybody in the church. If you don't love everybody, you ain't drunk enough. Oh, my God. The train is now going downhill. But I got to tell you this. And somehow Deborah in the spirit heard Sisera's mother. It was mother versus mother. And she heard Sisera's mother saying, I don't know if this was reported to her and she wrote it later, I don't know, but it's in there. Sisera, the enemy's mother, is saying, why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarry the wheels of his chariots? And Deborah knew that then Sisera's mother would say, I'm reading scripture, he will speed to victory and will prove it by returning with captive damsels. This is what the Bible says. And her wise ladies was assuring Sisera's mother, saying, her wise ladies answered her, have they not sped? Have they not divided the prey to every man, a damsel or two? And to Sisera, a prey of many colors of needlework, of many colors of needlework on both sides, that is good for the necks of them that take the spoil. So what damsels was Sisera going to bring home? Deborah's kids, that's who. And what beautiful garments for his soldiers was he going to bring home? The garments of her boys, that's who. And so Deborah says, Sisera may have chariots. Sisera may have a mama. But my kids have got a mama. And she's took about all she's going to take. And if the men won't do it, then I'm doing it. Oh, my God. And I'll close. Finally, when it's all said and done, she comes. They fight. Sisera's army's defeated. That makes everybody feel better. Come on. You ought to me to do a good job. And so, Sisera sees that he can't make it. His chariot is broken down. He jumps off and he runs for his life. He's athletic. He runs. All of his men are running, but Israel catches him and cuts him down. I don't have time to talk about Deborah not being squeamish. When it come time to say no, she couldn't worry too much about the blood. She just had to say, I didn't cause this. I'm here to prevent it from destroying my children. Sisera's running. He gets away. He's exhausted, Pastor. He's run maybe 2 or 3, 4 miles. He's got to find a place to stop. He's running. He runs into the tent of a young woman named Jael. Jael is a descendant of Moses' father-in-law, who were not Israelites, but who were friendly to the Israelites. And Sisera runs in and he's desperate. He says, ma'am, I need a drink of water and a place to rest for a minute. And Jael recognizes him and says, sure, come on in. Come on in. You can lay down right here. Before you lay down here, here's a jug of milk. Drink this milk. And he drinks the milk. She said, here's some covers. Let me cover you. While she's covering, she's probably thinking of the hundreds of young boys that he has killed and girls that he has captured, raped, and enslaved. She puts the blanket over him and pats his cheek and says, you can go to sleep now. He mumbles, if anybody comes, tell them there's nobody here. Sure, sure, you go to sleep now. And here's this woman with a devil in her house. What am I going to do? If he even suspects, what kind of woman are you when it's under pressure? Do you just melt into the wall? Or do you say, God, help me and empower me? I have a chance to do something great for God. He's so tired. He's been warring all day and then running 3 or 4 miles. And then this man's exhausted. He falls into a deep sleep. She takes a long nail and a hammer in her very feminine hands. Slowly comes to where he's at. Maybe he moves in his sleep. And then he goes back to sleep. And she places the nail, the Bible says. In fact, Deborah's the one that says this in chapter 5. She said, Jael took the nail and placed it on his forehead. Took the hammer. And she says she drove the nail through his temple and pinned his head to the floor. And Deborah says, blessed above women shall Jael, the wife of Eber the Kenite, be. Blessed shall she be above women in the tent. She put her hand to the nail and her right hand to the workman's hammer. And with the hammer she smote Sisera. At her feet he bowed and fell down dead. And the mother of Sisera looked out a window and cried through the lattice, why is his chariot so long in coming? And Deborah says, your son, it was your son or my sons, your son will never be back. Blessed be the woman that would stand up and do whatever was necessary. And when when all of that's done, I'm through. But when all of that's done, Deborah says, there's victory. And then Deborah goes down through the tribes and found all the men that did not come. She said, Reuben, where were you when Zebulun and Naphtali come to fight, but you didn't come? You ignored and you continued to shepherd your sheep over here and ignore the fact that it's time for war. And where were you, Dan, in your boats up in the far north? Why didn't you come to war? But then she says of those that came, you came. And she says, Meroz, you didn't come. And so cursed are you, Meroz. But Jael, blessed are you. I pray tonight, I know there's some of you that will leave and that won't mean anything to you. Some of you may even be mad, but I'm sorry that you're mad. Pray through. But there's others here tonight that God is talking to about being strong and decisive. It wasn't my grandpa that took the stand and went to LA. It was my grandma. And that's why my dad was saved. And that's why I was saved, because of my grandma. And that's why my kids are saved. And that's why my grandkids are saved, because of grandma. Some of you haven't been a good example. Some of you women have lived lives that you would be embarrassed for people to even know about. I understand all that, but it's behind you. Leave it there. And say, starting tonight, God, I'm not letting the devil push me around anymore. And I'm not letting him push around my children or our people or my husband or our family. But I am standing up tonight and making a commitment, God. Stand with me. Stand with me. Stand with me. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Why settest thou in comfortable repose of a shepherd's life? You hear the bleating of the flocks. Your kids are being killed. I want some mamas. I want some girls. And I want us guys to come tonight and say, God, I don't have all the answers, but I know one thing. Courage is a characteristic that's going to be a part of my life. And I am going to learn to stand up and not let the world push me around about my holiness, about my walk with you, about my children, about the rules of my house, about following the guidelines of the youth group, about all of these things, God. All of these things, God. I am coming tonight. Come on. Come on. If you're a guest here tonight, we invite you to come with us. Come on. We invite you to come with us. Come on. I want to talk to you for just a minute. And I want to be vulnerable to you because it's a long ways from here to Sacramento, and there's just so many things going on that all of us can't get together very often. There's a lot of wonderful things that have happened in Sacramento and in our ministry, a lot of places. Wonderful things. Just God has done supernatural things. But I want to tell you, more than anything else, the thing that made those things happen was courage when you didn't feel any. And standing in the darkest hours, when you were betrayed, when you're broke, when it looks like the whole youth group's going to hell in a handbasket, trying to take your kids with them. And there's a special devil in charge of destroying preachers' kids, because the influence goes down and somebody says, well, preachers' kids are devils anyway. It's because they run with the saints' kids, some smart aleck said. But the truth is, we all have kids and the devil's after all of them. But I can remember when our own youth group, I can remember driving up to the youth group, and I wasn't old, I was in my 30s. And I can remember young people in our own youth group that got so full of the devil. I don't know how it happened. That they were saying to my daughter, your dad's an old fogey. You don't have to leave. And when I drove up, they said, you don't have to go over there to that car. I called her name. I said, come here. I said, you don't have to go. These are young people whose fathers and mothers are strong people in our church. I'm just telling you, they're in our church today, many of them. But there's a real devil that gets in real people. And it comes down sometimes to where, especially with teenagers, where you're not handling them year by year or month by month or week by week. It gets down to day by day, and then it gets down, I'm not exaggerating, to hour by hour. And with us, it got down to minute by minute. So there were sometimes we were sitting at home saying, my God, how are we going to save our kids? And you young people, that night I left the house. I said, I'm going to go find where the young people are. And I drove up. They weren't doing anything wrong overtly, except what I just told you. You don't have to listen to your dad. You know, this had been going on for weeks, months. My own kid caught in the balance. This way and then this way. Some of you know what I mean. Some of you were the parents, some of you were the kid. I said, come sit down by me in the car, and she did. I didn't care what those other kids thought. I was beyond that. I doubled up both fists and slammed the steering wheel as hard as I could and said, Sheila! You've got to listen to me. The devil is bargaining for your soul. Listen to your daddy. And I don't know what happened that night. She never said a word. Drove away, and she never, ever was influenced by them again. Something happened that needs to happen to some of you young people tonight, and needs to happen to some of you parents tonight, and needs to happen to some of you spouses tonight, that says, that night I drove a nail through the head of the enemy of my soul and pinned him to the floor. And it's gone. And I have the victory. Some of you women, you're tough. You're sweet. You're velvet. You're tender. You're soft. But there's a female tenacity in you you need to nurture in the right way and say, I'm a woman and I'm proud of it. And I know what I am. And I am a force and an influence in this world. Nothing's taken it away from me. Let's see. Oh, this is a time somebody needs to get a hold of God. It's a time somebody needs to get a hold of God tonight. Hey, we'll worry about everything else some other time. Ah, we need God tonight. Somebody needs to make some consecration tonight that says, God, I'm standing right here. Nothing's taking this away from me. It's me. It's my church. It's my family. It's my kids. It's my husband. Man, it's my wife. It's my children. And I'm here. I'm giving everything. Come on, let's.